I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We're coming to you from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios in New York. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Granger. Let's take a look at the one who got it done this week. It's Jordan Eberle of the New York Islanders. 4 goals in the 4-game sweep of the Penguins. 2 assists, 6 points. The guy went off. The Player of the Week was brought to you by Granger. Granger's got your back. When it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running, get what you need when you need it at Granger.com. Tomorrow night at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network's Inside College Football crew as they dig deeper into the upcoming NFL draft, breaking down the blue chippers and speculating on the game's next superstars, only on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So now, Thunder up 29-24 on the Blazers. Just under a minute left in the first. And that Spurs lead is down to 5 in Denver with 7 minutes left. Spurs up 95-90. We were talking about the Clippers come back from 31 down to beat the Warriors last night. We were on the air when it happened live. It was crazy. And we saw the whole thing. It was nuts. And then we saw Boogie go down. We saw Lou Williams go off. Ray in Oregon, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scott, can I get a Budweiser?
Cold Budweiser. There you go.
I love it. Love your guys' show, man.
Thank you.
Anyway, I think the Warriors are in trouble with Boogie going down. You know, if they get to Houston, he was a matchup nightmare for Houston, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that it's a huge problem. I'm sure they'll, lie and tell you it's not. And
yeah.
The bottom line is Bogut isn't what he used to be. That's for sure. I would think, right? Like, does anyone really buy Andrew Bogut's going to dominate the Clint Capella and that young guy running up and down the court? I mean, Bogut can barely get up and down the court, let alone chase that guy around.
I mean, Boogie was a matchup nightmare for them. They had no answers with Capella and them. And, I don't know what they're going to do now with him going down.
Well,
I'd rather have Boogie in there than Durant.
That's insane. So just so we're clear, that's insane. All right, so they're not going to put in Boogie more than Durant ever. Here's the deal. What will they do without him? What they're going to do is give the ball to Durant and Curry and Thompson and, frankly, everyone else. Livingston, Iguodala, Green. That's what they're going to do. They're going to go back to, like, small ball, right? They're going to go back to Durant's now the 7-footer, right? He's going to be shooting 10 more shots at least. And they're going to have to shoot more threes, and they're going to have to score more. Everyone's going to have to score more. Clay's going to have to score more. Curry's going to have to shoot more. I think Durant has to shoot more. And I think Iggy's got to give him something. And the bench, Looney, all those guys have to give him something, I think, now. I think that guy will get massive burn, come to think of it. It's the bottom line is, I think, with Boogie going down, you look at the situation – and what do they have, sitting on their bench? You have to look down their bench, and it's Looney. He had 19 in the game. He was 6 of 6 from the floor, had 5 rebounds, 7 of 8 from the line. He had a huge night. So I think that you're going to get more from, you're going to see more Looney, Livingston, Cook, Iggy. Those guys are all – and Bogut will get more minutes. He's getting 17. Count on that happening now. He'll be at 20-plus. And then, you know, you get your Durant at 21, Curry at 29, Thompson at 17. They're going to all three of those guys and Green at 14. So all the four of those guys, they all have to continue to score in double figures. And then if they can get Looney to go out there, if he has anything like 19, if that guy gives you 15 and 10 every night, that would, in my view, if Looney gave you 15 and 10 every night and Boga could give you 8 to 10 and 10 boards, you won't feel the loss of Cousins if those two do that every night. It's going to take double the effort by those two to give you, in my book, what, you know, Cousins could give you. You know, he was in that game for only a few minutes before he went down, right? And that was the end of him. So now that he's gone, this is the reality of what they have to deal with.
Well, plus, if you look at his stats, like, he's obviously been putting up great stats as far as scoring, rebounding, all that. Like, he's taking care of business when he's in the game. But you're not losing a ton of minutes by losing him. We know these guys can make up the scoring. They might not be able to rebound as well. They might not be as big a force down low. But he was only playing like 25, 26 minutes a game. He's playing just over half the game. So you're already getting guys like Looney and Bogut and those other big guys in there with big minutes. So it's not a situation where you might have in the past with him on other teams where he goes down and all of a sudden he's playing 36 to 40 minutes and these guys are playing used to 5, 10 minutes and now have to play a big chunk. No, they're already playing 20 minutes each. So they're used to it. They just have to play a couple extra minutes. It's not going to be a huge strain on them. And the other guys can make up the scoring.
I actually think, believe it or not, believe me, Looney is no Boogie. I'll give you that. But Looney, I mean, are you kidding me? He had the night of his life. 6 of 6 from the floor, 7 of 8 from the line, 19 points, 5 boards. If that guy gave you, let's say, 17 and you know, 8 and like a block shot or two, honestly, in my view, you won't even feel him being gone. And because it's simple. He is not their source for scoring. He's their source for the in and out. In other words, kick it in to the low block, give him the rock, let him absorb a double, let him kick it back out, and guess what happens? They only have a bevy of the best shooters in the league, right? So what they do is kick it in, kick it out, and they'll let Curry and Thompson and Durant go to work. And Durant's the guy that gets that mid-range jumper going like no one's business, right? And then Clay and Curry are the three poppers. So Curry's more of the direct setup shop three shooter, if you ask me. And then I think Clay Thompson's the better screen shooter. Comes off screens and shoots. Like, you know, that's obvious, right? Like Redick's a screen shooter, if you ask me. Comes off screens, shoots threes, right? That's what Clay Thompson does. Gets the ball, quick, very quick release. I mean, both of them, Curry and Thompson, shoot it faster than you can spit, right? But the reality is that one of them's a screen, if you ask me, screen shooter. The other one's a dribble up and just fire from anywhere. I mean, Curry will go off a screen too, but the other guy, that's all he does is run around like a chicken with his head cut off, running around with a defender all over him, chasing him, and trying to get a screen to get open for 1 second to get that release off, and then he makes the shot. So I think they can live without him. I really do. I think it's a problem that they won't acknowledge. They'll lie and tell you it's, you know, we all got to step up and do our jobs. That's obvious, right? Now he's down, so Bogut and Looney have to do the job.
Well, let's not act like this is a team that was making the playoffs but not getting the job done before he came along and he was the missing piece. This team that won 3 of the last 4 without him and adapted to, for him to fit, and now let's just go back to what they were when they were kicking everyone's ass last year, the year before, and the 2 years before that.
So I think the one thing that they should look, I always ask this question in my head when I'm thinking about, when I'm watching this team, because I hate them, right? Like, I hate them. And so when I'm watching them, I'm sitting there thinking, is Durant going to leave? And I think to myself, this guy has actually, I mean, you can't deny, if you ask me, that they're going to make a play for him to stay. And so they have this brand new arena, right, in downtown San Francisco. I mean, just sparkling new, everything. They are, what, perennial finalists, right? They are perennial champions. Is that right? 3 of 4. Going for 4 of 5 now, right? Is that what it is? So, honestly, I have to ask this question. How do you walk away from that? All the winning, a brand new arena, the literally like the number one, it's, you know, the Knicks are the most valuable, but, you know, not for long. okay? You can always say, the Knicks will always make tons of money. We got that, okay? That's fine. You can't tell me that that team now, that Warriors team, isn't the most valuable team in the league. The difference between the Knicks and the Warriors is simple. Banners, okay? One of them wins championships, and one of them sucks. So the one that is in the gutter is worth so much money because it's New York City, right? And they sell out every night, whether they win or lose, because you want to be seen at the game. My old boss was famous for it. He would go sit in the front row down there at the Garden in the lower bowl so he could be seen. He was gone by the end of the first quarter. That was it. He doesn't even like sports, let alone, you know, they want to be seen, all these movie stars and famous people. That's it. Because they're not watching that crappy team. They never win. So the Warriors, to me, the way they win, right, championships and play in big games, every game they play is on national television, isn't it? I mean, literally like 8 of every 10. They are worth so much money. And that may not appeal to him at all. It's none of his business, right, really, that Lacob and the other guy are making all this money, right? Gruber, isn't that his name? The two owners, they're making all the money. It's not Kevin Durant's. But Durant will get a fat deal to stay there, right? Am I wrong? He can make the most money with the Knicks, right? Or is it with the Warriors?
I believe with the Warriors, he can get the most money but for staying there.
But by going, he can be the man and have no one else that matters, allegedly. Now, they talk about Kemba, Kyrie, Zion, all these grandiose predictions. The reality is we don't know if he's going to come to New York. But everybody thinks he's coming to New York, right? How do you, in God's name, walk away from the Golden State Warriors? How do you walk away from that? Who in their right mind walks away from something like that? Like, honestly, they are not going anywhere. This team is moving up the food chain every day. They got a brand new arena. It's going to be the Shangri-La of NBA arenas too, right? And then they win. All they do is win championships. And Curry and Thompson are still young, right? Are they not still young? I mean, honestly, if they kept Durant, I mean, imagine if they kept Durant, just Durant, Curry, and Thompson, and Green. Isn't Green another one? He's a free agent soon, too. So imagine, and I think underneath it all, I think they find Draymond Green to be a pain in the ass. So Vegas just scored again, 2-0 lead on San Jose. So how old again, Carver High?
Curry's 31, Thompson's 29.
Green's 29 as well.
They're in their prime. They're in their prime. You're in your prime till you're 34, right? At least? From 28 to 34, is that not your best years? It is. So I don't know why you would leave. I really don't. I mean, to go play with the loser Knicks, trust me, that guy is not winning by himself. He's not going to win by himself. What's he going to do, go out every night and score 35? And what? They'll still lose, you know? You could have one guy. What was Hardaway doing every night? He's terrible, right? But he was still trying to pour in 25 to 30 a night, wasn't he? When he was the man on the Knicks? He'd have 30, and they'd still lose by 15. I mean, it's unbelievable because they suck. How do you leave a championship team that all you do is win? What, he doesn't like the media exposure? What do you think he's going to get in New York? It's going to be even worse. 855-212-4CBS. We'll come back and talk to Greg Bell about the Russell Wilson deal.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right. Greg Bell's our buddy from the Tacoma News Trib. He covers the Seahawks. Greg, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Scott, how are you?
Good, man. Thanks for coming on the Bench. So what did you think of the deal? 4 years, $140 million, $65 million signing bonus. Because obviously there were a lot of things that could have happened if they hadn't have done the deal. It would have been the beginning of the end, wouldn't it, of his time there? Like at some point or another, it would have gotten a little ugly.
Could have been, Scott, and you're right on what other things could have happened. They were their side. I talked to traded a text message at 1 in the morning Pacific time last night with his agent, Mark Rogers, after it got done. He confirmed to me the money figures. He didn't get into exactly how the structure of the deal has come down, but it's now obvious that this is a traditional signing bonus, guaranteed money payable in future years type of deal that the Seahawks and many other NFL, most NFL teams do. And that's much more salary cap manageable for the Seahawks than what could have been. And Mark Rogers, Russell Wilson's agent, went into this hoping to be a transcendent deal that would change how NFL contracts went, tied to increases in salary caps each year with something of basically an escalator clause that would say every year Russell Wilson gets 15% of the Seahawks salary cap. So as the salary cap would go up, so would Russell Wilson's contract. That's unprecedented. It's never been done in the NFL, and I've tried, namely Aaron Rodgers' agent last year with Green Bay. And the pushback from the teams remained, just what the Seahawks dug in on last night, saying we cannot afford to give you basically a blank check with an ever-rising salary when we're trying to fund 52 other players. And, oh, by the way, we're trying to re-sign Frank Clark. And, oh, by the way, we're trying to re-sign Bobby Wagner after this year. So the Seahawks dug in on that and would not yield. They stayed with the traditional salary structure. Unlike some other deals, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Ryan, they didn't guarantee almost all the money up front. They guaranteed it spread over time. $70 million guaranteed within 12 months of signing, but another $37 million spread out over the rest of the deal. So the Seahawks, Scott, are in better position tonight than they were this time last night to re-sign Wagner and Clark coming out of this deal, even though they just gave Russell Wilson the richest contract in NFL history.
So they gave him the money, and I understand the structure of what you just told me, that it turns out how it's going to play out with $70 million over 12 months, and then the rest of it spread out, blah, 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 blah. So bottom line is that they actually, at the end of the day, you're going to tell me, is they won the deal. And he actually almost, in essence, took he understood that if he doesn't accept these kind of terms, that they're going to have a major difficulty signing guys like Wagner and Clark and you know, handling the deals of all the players that we need around here to be a playoff team and to make a run. Otherwise, we just can't do this. Is that basically what happened?
That's basically what happened. And to stay in Seattle, he realized that he'd have to play by the Seahawks rules ultimately. And that the other thing the Seahawks had to worry about is if Russell Wilson got this escalator clause tied to increases in salary caps, what's Bobby Wagner going to ask for? The best middle linebacker in the game, three-time Pro Bowl All-Pro. He's going to ask for the same thing, and top of the market and escalator clause for him. And then Frank Clark at age 25 will ask for the same thing after the franchise tag situation resolves. So Wilson realized that, and then he backed off that demand. His agent last night said, okay, we won't insist on an escalator or an unconventional structure, but the more traditional one. That's what got it done, period.
So let me ask you, Greg Velvet, again from the Tacoma trip, do you, at any point, did you feel that there was any truth to the rumors of him possibly being traded to the New York Giants? Was any of that true, or was that all bogus?
No, that was all smokescreen. That was leaked from, I believe, Russell Wilson's side, his camp, perhaps the agent, just for posturing and leveraging and making it seem like this would be a tough alternative if the Seahawks couldn't get what Russell Wilson wanted money-wise. None of it. The Seahawks were not going to trade. As long as John Schneider and Pete Carroll were in charge of the Seahawks, they weren't going to trade Russell Wilson. They have cast their lot with them. There was no plan B. Hasn't been for years. Since he took him to the Super Bowl in 2013 and won it, he's their guy. And they knew when they re-signed him in 2015 that his four-year deal would end before Aaron Rodgers re-signed for top of the market, before Matt Ryan re-signed top of the market. They knew what it would cost. They didn't know the exact figure, but they knew it would be the richest deal in NFL history at the time it got signed. It was just the timing of it ending when it did this offseason. So the Seahawks were prepared completely for this. And they ended up, in the end, staying true to what they intended to do, which is, as I said, a traditional structure that will allow them to pay other players. And this is no different than every other extension they've done, and Richard Sherman and Russell Wilson and Earl Thomas before. That's the key for the Seahawks. Wilson got his money. It may be eclipsed in two or three years by Patrick Mahomes and the like, but the Seahawks kept the flexibility down the road to still sign Bobby Wagner and Frank Clark, and that's the big win.
So do you feel, Greg Bell with his Tacoma trip, do you feel that, because, you know, the Rams get all the attention. That's obvious. Not only do they get all the attention, we hear the coach is a genius all the time. Everybody's always trying to tell us he's Albert Einstein. And it's hilarious to me. But Do you feel that they're a legitimate 10-win, 11-win team with him on the field every year, no matter what, based on some of the other pieces they have, the Carsons, the Locketts, the Wagners and the Clarks? Do you feel that by having him that they're automatically, if you ask me, like a 10-win team?
Absolutely, Scott. Let me tell you, I've watched this team now every month, every season, every game, every practice for 6 years, 7 years. If Russell Wilson is good enough for 3 or 4 wins by himself with this team, and why do I say that? Because of how bad this offensive line has been at times for him. He has won games single-handedly. He's gained 90%+ of their yards. He's had his most efficient passing season of his career, still among the NFL leaders in touchdown throws, and he throws it less than anybody. This team ran the ball more than anybody in the league last year, led the NFL in rushing. And they're going to do it again because their offensive line can't pass protect. And Russell Wilson runs around for his life, and plays on a sprained knee that the doctor said he should have missed 4 games, has never missed a practice, let alone a game in his career. Without Russell Wilson, Scott, they'd be the Buffalo Bills. And that's the difference between signing him and letting him go, and that's why they're never going to trade him.
So how about the fact that, Greg, that he's Mr. Christian, Mr. Perfect. He's just the nicest guy in the world. He's got a hot girlfriend, wife, whatever. I can't keep track of it. His Ciara, he's laying in bed last night. It was like watching a porno. But honestly, he's so perfect, and he's just absolutely no trouble whatsoever, right? He's been like the ideal, like the ultimate player to have. As a, you get him, you draft him, whatever, and then he turns into this, and he's just the perfect guy. Like, he's like baby Jesus, basically.
Well said. They pay for that. That's part of what they bought with this contract, the Russell Wilson brand, his entrepreneurship, Ciara being on the sidelines with the kids, and it's all part of the deal. Last night, I couldn't think of a more bizarre way to announce your new contract than under the covers in bed with your wife without your shirt on.
And did you see his teammates like do a parody of it already? I think tonight he had a couple teammates make fun of him and do the same thing. They had like, I guess, 2 of the players in bed together. I forget who it was, but I know something funny happened tonight.
That will live on in infamy in the Seahawks locker room for decades. Last night,
I mean,
that was bizarre.
I saw something tonight on my phone. There's something out there right now about it. You can find it. Someone, one of the teammates on that team did a video, the exact same video, but it's 2 very ugly, hairy men laying in bed. I think it's, we got a deal, Seattle. I'll see you in the morning.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, when he was talking, you know, all sexy like James Bond in the video, I was actually just like absolutely paralyzed looking at her. I was sitting there going, God damn, she's hot. Even like at 4 in the morning. I mean, with no makeup on. I mean, you are. And then I didn't even see him. I was fixated on her with no, you know, none of that red carpet stuff going on where you get all dolled up. She was just raw dogging it. And I was like, God, she's gorgeous even like in bed, like just with hat head. I couldn't even, I noticed now we're not even talking about the quarterback anymore. We're just talking about her. That's at the time. I think I got to end this interview. Greg, fabulous stuff as always. I'll see you in, I don't know, after the draft or something.
Yes, sir. Anytime. We'll talk about Russell Wilson's bedroom habits next time.
I'm telling you, he's got more going on than I do. All right. Thanks a lot, Greg. I'll see you, buddy.
Thanks,
all right. Greg Bell, the Tacoma News Trib, covering the Seahawks in their fat new deal. Basically a discount they got him at. That's basically what he just told me. They won the deal. The team won. He actually got a fat deal, but it could have been a lot bigger, and it could have been a lot different. It was raises every year. 15% raise every year, no matter what the cap was. That's craziness. So they got a standard 4-year deal from him that I think that they won the deal. But they still get this great quarterback, and everybody loves him. So there you go.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So playoffs rolling in hockey and hoops. So it's PharrellOnTheBench.com. Great picks, great price, great return. PharrellOnTheBench.com has everything. NBA, NHL, baseball picks every day. Boxing, MMA. Sign up today. PharrellOnTheBench.com. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. Episode 201 of Pharrell on the Bench tomorrow. on iTunes and Google Play, WestwoodOnePodcast.com. It's my short, fast, but sweet sports betting podcast. It basically gives you the best plays of the day to go to the window with. So, I don't know if you know this or not, but they're going at it in this game. 52-47, Oak City with the lead. And there's a minute and a half left in the first half. Westbrook is just getting all kinds of grief from Damian Lillard. PG has 16. Lillard has 14 in the game. But the thing that I've noticed is they already had like a little scrap. They had like a fight. It wasn't, you know, no fisticuffs, but there was definitely a scrum. And it was in the corner, and it was with Lillard and Westbrook. Now, Westbrook's got 7 in the game, 3 boards, 5 dimes, a steal. Meanwhile, Lillard has 14 and a couple threes, 4 boards and a dime and a block shot. So he got up, and Westbrook was on the ground with a loose ball, right? And then I saw Lillard get up in his face and, like, go for the ball and just kept hitting him in the face. And so then I mean, Westbrook was having none of it. And, you know, then he put on the Oscar performance to get the ref to side with him, which he didn't get. And the game has turned very chippy. Like, I just saw Adams get hammered and thrown to the ground. I saw Kanter get stepped on. It is getting...
Every time you look up in this game right now, somebody else is hitting the deck. It is.
It's getting very physical. So it is what it is. It's, you know, the game's getting really good. I have to ask you, though... going back to Russell Wilson. So he ended up being the highest, you know, paid player in the league, right? Now, at the end of the day, he's the highest paid player in the league for now, for a week, however, until the next guy gets a deal. That's really what it boils down to. He's making $35 million. Aaron Rodgers, $33.5 million. Matt Ryan, $30 million. Cousins, $28 million. Can you imagine? Garoppolo, $27.5 million. Stafford, $27 million. Derek Carr, $25 million. So, Russell Wilson, highest paid player, $35 million average. $65 million signing bonus, most in history. 69 passing touchdowns since 2017. That's the most in the NFL. 75 quarterback wins in his first 7 seasons, most in NFL history. 100 passer rating, second highest all time. How can you even argue anymore? Because when I first saw it, I was like, he's the highest paid player in the league, Russell Wilson? I'm like, he's not even the best quarterback. But those numbers that I just rattled off are staggering. And, I mean, literally, I just rattled them off. The most touchdown passes in the league since 2017. You can't even believe it, right?
That I can't believe.
75 quarterback wins in the first 7 seasons, most in history. 100 passer rating, second highest all time. That's all you need to know. That he, I mean, honestly, should be the highest paid player. He's got all the records. He's the man. Most TDs, highest quarterback rating, highest, most wins in 7 years. I mean, all he does is win. All he does is throw touchdown passes. You don't even notice it when you're watching him play. I always not remember him running around and throwing what needed to be done to win the game. But never, he was never the guy, in my view, that was throwing 4 touchdowns a week, like Brady. This guy just gets the wins, and he'll make that pass in the fourth quarter that's the difference. And then he's won a Super Bowl and went to 2 of them, right? And then so that's why they're paying him all this money. They couldn't afford to lose him.
Look, you gotta. Sometimes you gotta pony up and pay your franchise quarterback, and you sometimes see guys get paid for not doing anywhere near close to what this guy has done.
Like Kirk Cousins,
right? Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr. You go on and on and on. Look at that
Matt
list.
Matt Stafford.
I mean, Matt Ryan. All these guys. Now, obviously, Aaron Rodgers. He has won one as well. And now he inches ahead of him, right? He just inches ahead of Aaron Rodgers in terms of
inches
$35 million per year to, what, 30?
Do you think he should
be
making more money than Aaron Rodgers?
Look, I mean, look at the number. You just read them all out. I mean, right now, who's been better the last 2 or 3 years?
No one.
Who's been better?
You can't even.
Between the two of them, between Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, who's been better the last 2 or 3 years?
He has. Wilson.
And they've won the same amount of Super Bowls.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious right
and
about now.
And he's been to one more than him.
Right, it's pretty obvious if you ask me right now. So there you go. Halftime, 54-51. And I think it ends a three-point lead at the half. No, does that count? Did that jumper count? I don't think it did.
They'll go to the window or go to the review.
Well,
I
don't know, because like what I'm seeing here is that it's already halftime. I don't know. Did they give him they gave him the bucket? Like, what? Look. Yeah, that counts. That's got to count, right?
Absolutely. There was about 0.7 left when he let that
go.
So
what? It's tied at the half?
Yeah, hopefully it should be a fun second half.
So, I'm sitting here watching, and I think it's tied at the half. Everyone
Maybe somebody
else,
will completely take somebody else out in the second half, considering they tried to do that in the first half.
We've already seen all that violence. And anything could happen in that second half. It could get very ugly, because it already is. It already is. You already know it with Lillard and Westbrook going at it. Listen, I'll tell you what. This guy Westbrook will back down from no one. I mean, literally no one. Have you ever seen anything like this guy, the way he goes in there, into the trees, and rebounds? I mean, honestly. Like, if you watch him, when he goes down on the defensive end and they get a shot up, that guy rolls to the basket. You wonder why he averages a triple-double? Because on every shot, that guy goes for the rebound. Like, he goes into that rebounding area, you know, that range of 5 feet around the rim. You know what I mean? On both sides of the block and out in the paint, it's about 5 feet from the, you know, that restricted area. He goes in there every time. He rolls down to the basket, and he means business defensively on the backboards.
He's not afraid.
Dude, he's in there blocking out seven-footers. He means business. That's why he gets all those rebounds. It's craziness. He does everything so well. And he's not shooting the ball well tonight, 3 of 13. But he is tough. He will take no prisoners. He'll take no Shaq from anyone. Absolutely none. And he'll give it back, too. You give him something, he'll give it right back to you. You got to admit, he's intense. That guy, and I've said it before on this show, I've never seen anyone like, is there anyone in the league that plays harder than him? I mean, literally, start to finish.
I don't believe so.
In every game, when they play, what, 48 minutes? Is there anyone that plays harder wall-to-wall, belly-to-belly than Russell Westbrook in the NBA? Who plays harder than him? I mean, I need to know. You tell me who it is. That literally goes full speed. I mean, 100% full speed every game. That guy never takes a single shift off. Not one time is he on the floor. He's not going all out.
No, there's plenty of superstars in this league who maybe don't always give max effort on the defensive end or the.
You mean like Kyrie?
Oh, plenty. Well, he would definitely be up there.
When he goes through his depression months where he doesn't want to play in Boston anymore and doesn't want to play in Golden State anymore, he needs his 2 month window of vacations where he needs some time away from everybody. He's lonely. He needs some quality of me time, some Kyrie time, some Uncle Drew time. You don't get that with this guy Westbrook, do you? Seriously. I mean, honestly, when do you hear about, like, all we ever hear about is how miserable Kyrie is. He's always miserable. But do you ever hear that about Westbrook?
How miserable Durant is.
And Durant and all of them. And they just can't, you just can't find any happiness whatsoever. What about this guy? Do you ever hear him say anything? Not only that, he doesn't complain, and he's also just a massive D to the media. I mean, he is just absolutely, he's unapproachable. You can't even talk to him, right? He's just have you ever seen him do a press conference now? Next question.
Waste of time.
Next question. I can't believe they don't fine him, the NBA, the league, because he doesn't cooperate with the media at all, zero. Guess what? He doesn't get paid to cooperate with the media. Everybody wants the media to get along with the players. Here's a newsflash for you. The players, for the most part, 70% of them can't stand the media. Can't stand them. Hate them. 30% of them tolerate them. They do. You know, I saw a hockey player walking into an arena tonight. I think, I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Columbus. It was definitely, I think, Columbus. It was the home team. and one of their players was walking in. I don't know who it was. Did you see it before the game? So they had this guy walking in. You know how they follow these guys now in the tunnels?
Right, with the cameras. Right. Yeah.
So you walk in, what they're wearing and everything.
Do that on Sunday mornings during NFL games, right? You know, on the pregame shows, they show them walking
in. So the guy was walking in from the Blue Jackets, and he looked at this camera guy. He was walking toward him. He was the only person in the hallway. He was the only one. And he was walking toward the locker room, and he just looked at him like this look. And I'm not even kidding. The look, they should have had one of them little cartoon bubbles come over his head. And it would have said, what the Pharrell are you looking at? Like, it was absolutely, this guy looked at him like, he looked right through him like the camera guy was, you know, zooming in on him. And he just looked at him like, go in the bathroom and kill yourself. Why are you filming me walking in this building, going to my locker room to play a game? Just get out of my face. Like, you could see it written all over his face. Like, why are you doing this to me? Why are you filming me walking? Is there anything worse in news when they show before they interview someone, before a big interview with, like, let's say a assemblyman or a congressman or a senator or the senator's secretary who knows all about Watergate and she's going to break the story? They always show the, like, fat chick walking to her job before they interview. Have you ever seen that where they'll film her walking or film the guy walking somewhere? Before they sit down and ask him all the tough questions of why he stole the $20 million, they always show him walking first. Where are they walking to? The interview?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.